Welcome, everybody, to another sizzling episode of the Real Mentors Podcast. We're ready to talk some TV, some movies, and of course, as always, have some fun along the way. Let's make the introductions today. They're going to help us talk about a deep dive in the Comic-Con. Of course, we got a wealth of new residents at the trailer park and Disney. Disney, shame, shame, shame. So first up, we got, of course, our technical producer, the man beast himself, the head of the girlslife.com studios, Mr. Mike Rose.
How you doing, kids? I'm here. I'm having fun. I'm ready to go. I'm all.
So I like to hear it. We got a
it's
big
the first
show
time
today.
My allergies haven't freaking been murdering me in like 3-4 weeks.
And the first time is nothing's gone wrong in your house.
My house is starting to come around, kid.
Hey, what's I'm talking about? And of course, we got live from Houston, of course, the brother himself, the man who attended Comic-Con. We'll take a deep dive with him, of course. Tell us about how you enjoyed it. Chewy, what's up?
Yo, ladies, what's going on? I'm still trying to recover, dude.
It's been like 4 or 5 days ago. Let it go, dude.
So the food out there was great, dude?
Don't hate, dude. Don't hate.
No, I'm asking you about the food, bro.
What about the food? Oh, well, we ate where we ate, man. I mean, it's good. It's good
food.
Well,
but we know you ate, dude.
I thought you
the convention food
nice
is mediocre at best, but everything else
from some restaurants.
Yeah. Wherever we went around town, a couple places, it was pretty good. It was good food, good stuff.
You said you have relatives out there or something, or friends?
Yeah, we have a cousin who's lived in San Diego forever.
Okay, awesome. So he knows some good places to go.
Well, no, he wasn't actually there. I stayed at his house, but we were at Comic-Con. We were on our own.
Oh, okay.
I think he spent the last couple of days after on his house or whatever.
Yeah, afterwards. Yeah, we stayed at his house. But the time before that, we were, obviously by the convention center, partaking in all the shenanigans that is Comic-Con. No,
of course. And,
then some.
Plenty of those, of course. Before we get into all that, I want to first talk. Me and Mike got a chance to we're presented a mission, and we chose to accept
it. And it wasn't impossible.
It wasn't an impossible mission. We got a chance. It's obviously the sixth installment of the Mission Impossible series a couple of nights ago. Mike, just jump in, man. I know Troy hasn't seen it, so we'll keep this, of course, spoiler free,
but I thought it was a fantastic movie. It was a lot of fun. Great popcorn movie. Just, Tom Cruise is Tom Cruise, man. He knows how to turn it on when he has to, and he's been in some crap movies the last couple, but this one is not a crap movie. It's good.
Oh, it's really good. It's a lot of fun, dude. Yeah. It might be the second best movie of the summer, right? Besides Infinity Wars, of course.
How do you put it? How does it stack up against Rogue Nation, which was really good?
I didn't think it was as good as Rogue Nation.
Just a little bit less, though.
Okay. It's a little bit under the last couple, and that's not a bad thing. It's just those two are great. It is what it is. I'll put it maybe just – I want to see it again Saturday. I'm taking Anna and her kid. Probably the third best in the series maybe.
I got that. I'm good with that.
Yeah, when I see it again, maybe it bumps up. I don't know. I got to see it. But it was really fun.
We should rank them actually.
If we rank them, the second's the worst one.
Yeah.
Obviously, then there's number one. Then it goes up from there, 3. I said the third one, then maybe this one, then the fourth and the fifth.
Okay. Okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah, that's about where I am too.
Yeah. I mean, if I see it again, and I'm going to see this one again, and maybe I put this above the fourth. But it's not better than Rogue Nation.
The one criticism about this movie, without spoilerizing it to me anyway, I thought Henry Cavill was pretty good, but there really was kind of an absence of a villain and that kind of – like an overall villain. I just felt like without giving away anything, that was my one takeaway from there, that maybe it wasn't as good as Rogue Nation,
No, that's fine. That's fair. I guess it's not a big deal. I mean, some things were kind of predictable, but it's Mission Impossible.
Right, of course. There's always stuff. There's going to be rubber masks, okay? That's just how
it is. Of course.
I mean, Ethan Hunt doesn't die? What?
No, he almost does. He breaks his ankle.
Oh, no!
I mean, this is why this Tom Cruise is a superstar. He's probably the greatest superstar in Hollywood history. One of them, anyway. I mean, he just delivers.
He's the greatest action superstar in Hollywood history, I believe.
Easily. Yeah, I don't think that's even up for debate, to be honest with you. And it's just great. I mean, this guy's 56, man. He's still doing this shit, man. He's crazy. He's crazy.
And
he's hanging up
helicopters,
the Halo jumps and all
that. There's a scene where he's running, like, through London, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, hauling ass for like what seems like miles and miles and miles. Am I crazy? I mean, it's just like, who runs like that?
I mean, you are crazy, but not in this case.
Right.
no, but he's in great shape, man. And there was an interview with Ving Rhames, and he talks about how his nutrition and his health, how he
maintains it. Ving Rhames, on the other hand, is not in good shape.
Dude, he has exploded, dude. Wow.
It looks like Ving Rhames ate Ving Rhames.
Marcellus Wallace, man, he's gone medieval way too much, dude.
That's right.
Yeah, he's had a few of those tasty Hawaiian burgers, perhaps.
Oh, man. I don't know, man. It's rough, man. It's like he's about to eat Tom Cruise. And I was like, dude, don't do it.
he ate Ving Rhames and Tom Cruise.
Yeah, he ate it. Simon Pegg, he had him off like a buffet.
And by the way, Simon Pegg looks like he's lost. He's like bone skinny now. So
yeah, he gave it all to Ving Rhames.
Right. He gave his body fat to Ving Rhames.
Here you go. It's a donation, yeah. But it's great, man. It's super fun. I know, Chuy, I assume you're going to check it out sometime this weekend, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to buy tickets for Saturday afternoon, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, no, it's really good.
Maybe do it right now. Maybe multitask.
There you go.
The kids are going to Chuy. That's a great movie for kids.
Oh, no, but my daughter doesn't want to see it. My son does.
Okay. Okay, he'll like it. Yeah, he'll like it. Like I said, it's got 96%, which I'm surprised. I mean, yeah, I am.
Yeah,
it's
usually Rotten Tomatoes shits on Mission Impossible.
No, they've been decent the last few, but this one really got a good rating. And it's really good. I mean, that fight scene in the bathroom is awesome. It's
long as hell, too.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
Not like, from a standpoint of when is this going to end, but it's just like a great fight scene.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and like I mentioned before, the helicopter scene I thought was great too. That was really cool. That in IMAX I could see would be amazing. I know we didn't get to see it on IMAX or fake IMAX or whatever. But it's great, man. It's definitely worth it, man. It's a lot of fun. And having said that, in honor of its release, I mean, the question of the week here, and this may be an easy one, is this is this the best action franchise ever? Is there anything better than the Mission Impossible series?
Well, there's what? There's how many total? Six?
There's six. And it's been consistent. One misstep.
With one misstep. But yeah, it's pretty.
I mean, I couldn't think of one. The weapons are fine. Yeah. They started off great, but, kind of tapered off in the end.
Yeah, but they peaked and then they came down. Yeah.
Right. Die Hard.
Die Hard peaked at two.
James Bond, I guess.
James Bond is
so many.
Yeah, but it's really hit and miss sometimes.
And it's inconsistent. Yeah, you don't get
right.
consistent.
Pierce Brosnan ones where there was one good one and then a bunch of real shitty ones.
Jason Bourne was good, but the last one
was terrible. And the one with Hawkeye was terrible too.
I don't even include that.
It's considered in the whatever.
Yeah,
but
that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, but the last two haven't. Because, I mean, the Mission Impossible has gotten better with age. These other ones, like you're right, Chuy, they start off fantastic and then take a huge dip. Mad Max is the only one I can think of. Maybe that's somewhat close.
No, because Beyond Thunderdome was awful.
Yeah, but that Fury Road was great.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, times.
Two men enter, one man leave. But yeah, I don't think it's anything better, man. I don't see it. I just has to be the best one. Am I wrong here? I can't think of anything.
If not at one of the, it is definitely up there as the best.
I think
yes.
You're right on the money. I think it is the number one action franchise going.
Yeah, and again, of all time. I mean, it's hard to get six movies. I mean, you don't see that. I mean, Fast and Furious does it, but the quality is not exactly
the high impact that Tom Cruise is doing. This is a lot of Tom Cruise. This movie is Tom Cruise.
They all are. I mean,
and
good
he's doing like all his own stunts or most of his stunts, and he's still killing it. I mean,
yeah, and I heard he in the helicopter scene he actually flies it. He learned how to fly it in 3 months.
No
that's
shit.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, he's like
But how hard is that, dude? Come on, pull a
Isn't
stick
he like a
up,
pilot,
down.
I've read that he was like a private pilot.
He learned it. He did it. I don't know. He does his own shit, dude. It is what it is. He's hanging off a helicopter. He's got the halo jumps. He's got. Jumping buildings for Christ's sake, and then they kept that scene where he breaks his ankle was actually they left it untouched.
And you saw him like stumbling as he ran across.
And
then the next scene, he was good to go again. Somehow, he must have worked that out.
Magic of Hollywood, magic. But anyway, let's move on from that. Everybody, check it out. It's a great flick, no doubt about it. It's gone to the worst of the worst. Yeah, of course the what the fudge segment here and. And for once, it in DC, you know, nice. Miracles happen. DC is actually one of the best things over the past week or so, and that's we don't say that very often.
They did hit it out of the park at Comic-Con. They stepped up.
They stepped up, and we'll get into that in a minute.
Didn't you say that, Chewie, that they had to step it up?
Well, they had no choice.
They had no choice because no one else was there.
No, nobody showed up, so it was time for them to friggin' shine.
I think they would. Well, we'll get into it later. It's not we'll get into it now. But Disney, man, I mean, I know this news, it didn't come out of Comic-Con, but it happened during the Comic-Con, of course, and that's the firing of James Gunn. You know, he just finished a script for part 3. He did the first two, which everybody likes.
Was that for a tweet, by the way?
10-year-old tweet, couple of tweets. Jokes.
Yeah, he tweeted 10 years ago, whatever. He had a lot of tweets, but it was a lot of inappropriate tweets about these jokes he's making about rape and pedophilia, I guess, in some ways and
just
some other
a
stuff.
Joke,
and
though, right? I mean, come on.
But they were pretty bad. I read some of these texts, and it's pretty bad. And I get it.
Years ago, though.
But that's the thing, man. They come out and they fire him like that. I mean, if you're Disney, is this the right move, too? I mean, were they justified here? Did they overreact, perhaps?
You know what? If I was DC, I would go grab that mother scratcher and put him.
Go ahead, Chewie.
Go ahead, Chewie. Sorry, Chewie.
Yeah, go ahead, Chewie.
How dare you?
I'm Big Mike today.
So, again, well, whoever, Chewie, since whatever. What do you think? I think it's an overreaction. That's just me. I'm on the fence, I have to be honest with you.
It was bad, you know, jokes down in poor taste, poor
very
material
poor taste.
For her, but they were a joke then. It wasn't like, oh, he said something, and he came back saying, oh, I'm just joking. No, they were written as jokes, meant to be jokes. That's what he did. And all of a sudden, you know, goons from the alt-right dig up dirt. They don't find dirt on anybody because they're trying to nitpick and what is what they do, and lo and behold, Disney, you know,
wait, this is alt-right or this is a Twitter mafia? I'm trying to understand.
He was arguing with some alt-right goons, and they basically just dug up dirt on them. That's all they were trying to do, just to knock them down. They could find dirt on anyone and everything.
But do you think he should have got fired?
No, man. I think it's overreaction, honestly.
Well, I mean,
but how about all these people?
They put it this way. Does he have a history of this type of behavior? Absolutely not. I mean, just look at the last 10 years.
I agree. I'm with you.
And all the guys and everyone in that movie, most of the guys in the movie, if not all the actors, have stepped up in his side and on his corner essentially, and disagreed with the decision by Disney to fire him. So that speaks volumes as far as you guys got guys who are sticking up for you, who have no skin in the game really. They don't have to, but they're putting the neck out saying, yeah, it's all right. It was a bad decision. And you know, they're not going to go back, and regardless of this petition, they're just not going to go back. And then they look really foolish.
They look foolish
catering to just to the mob. Oh, fire him. Oh, no, unfire him. I mean, they made a mistake. They're not going to compound it.
Social media mafia thing that they're all these people just friggin' all these companies just cower with all the Twitter twats.
Well, the thing is, I guess I'm on the fence because if I'm Disney, I kind of get it. I mean, you have a certain image and all that, a brand. I understand that, right? People are gonna uproar. It's like, just fire the guy. He's not irreplaceable. I understand that. But let's be realistic. Disney's full of shit here because they knew what was going on, obviously. You can't tell me they didn't do a background check on this guy. They knew. Because the thing is, he got called out on this back in 2012, which he had already been hired to direct Guardians of the Galaxy. Yep. And then he was forced to apologize, I think, to GLAAD. He made some homophobic comments or something like that. I don't know. But he apologized for all the bad tweets and all that. So that was already – he had already acknowledged it. It had been brought in the open. He apologized, dealt with it. Disney knew about it because it happened on their watch right after they hired him. And then for them to turn around and say, oh, it's not consistent with our values, y'all knew exactly.
It was consistent when you hired him.
Exactly. And that was only 3-4 years since that point. And let's be honest, you know these big companies, they dig, and they do this now. I've heard about this. They'll dig into your social media and see what you've done because they don't want to be in this exact position.
They don't want to get embarrassed.
Disney didn't do that. Disney? No, I don't think so. If they were to come out and say, listen, if you're going to fire him, say, listen, we messed up. We hired him. We shouldn't have done it. Fine. We made a mistake. But they didn't say that. They just said, okay, hey, it's not consistent with our values. Peace out. They just didn't take any accountability because they knew this guy was – he was edgy before they hired him. we all knew that he was part of the Troma production, which does a lot of questionable movies. Mm-hmm. The movie Super, which is cool, but it's very, again, edgy, and it's provocative, to say at least. They knew exactly what they were getting. They knew about it. Just come on, say it. Hey,
we Super hired... Super is the one with Rainn Wilson, right?
Yeah, Rainn Wilson, I forgot the girl's name. They should have just come out and said, either support him, say, hey, he paid the price, or we already knew that, we talked to him, we keep him on, or fire him, but at least be accountable for what you did. It's a bit, but I get it. I guess I get it. I don't know. I mean, you're Disney. You can't keep him on.
You know what? They're so big that they'll
Disney.
Find
they can do whatever
else.
They want. They're Disney, man. I mean,
it's huge.
Technically, it's Disney, but it's still
I just don't
moral.
Like them bowing to the Twitter mafia. That's all.
Exactly.
They're Disney, but I mean, I don't know. It's like I said, I get it. I prefer that wouldn't have. I think they overreacted personally. They shouldn't get fired. I mean, the Roseanne thing, that's different because that was a tweet she had just made. So I get that.
Yeah. And she has a history of
that. A history. Of yeah, it's off, a history. And
just, enough is enough.
Exactly. Yeah. And she hadn't tweeted for 10 years and fine. Okay, whatever. And he, I mean, people change. I mean, he's a different guy now. Whatever. It happens. It was 10 years ago, for Christ's sake. We all say stupid shit when we're younger. It's how it works. We still say stupid shit. But, I mean.
It's just like that picture, right, that had the tweets he made in like 10th grade getting judged.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And it's like, dude, come on, man. I mean, it's got to be a statute of limitations to this stuff at some point. But at the end of the day, listen, and stay off Twitter.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly.
It works for me.
Off Twitter. I mean, how many times have I seen people saying, just get off it. You don't have to be on Twitter, guys. If you're famous, don't do it. Don't hit send. And that solves the problem. I know a lot of these guys that have, and I read about this, they have publicists who, before they even hit send, they send the copy to the an email to the publicist or whatever, and to be sure it's kosher, and then they tell them yay or nay. Obviously, not everybody has that. But that's the lesson, dude. Stay off social media.
Right.
It's not a good idea. Apparently, they're going to hold
not that hard. It's not that hard.
You don't have to tweet. You don't have to fucking tweet. You just don't. You never know what's going to happen. And this is a clear example. It's a lesson for everyone out there. You know, whether you're famous or not, just be careful, because if they're gonna dig this up, put it back in your face, it's gonna happen, because that's, you know, you're right, they got the mafia out there, they're gonna look for this kind of shit, and
it's on both sides. It's both like crazy leftists and crazy rightists. It's nuts.
Yeah. And we talked about his overreaction last week with the whole thing with Scarlett Johansson. This is another. Here we go again. Right. Okay, here
it's
we go.
It's the same kind of shiz.
It's the same kind of things. Like, God, and if, you're right. That petition, you're right. It's pointless.
Right.
Yeah,
it's like
$200,000. No, it's got a lot of signatures, but it's not worth anything. Yeah,
no, this is not
because it could be the same guy signing it 58 times with different names.
I mean, I'm not sure how those things work.
It's all stupid. It's just ridiculous. And they don't,
I'm sure you can dig
petitions don't do anything.
No, of course not. And Disney, whatever, they're not going to hire him back because it just looks weird. Looks bad if they do. I guess. I mean, you made the bed. It's done. Move on. I mean, like I said, he's not irreplaceable, and he'll get another job in 6 months.
Right, DC will hire him to direct one of their movies.
I'm fine with that.
Maybe.
I'm totally fine with that, dude. Hey, bring him on, dude. I mean, like I said, this is
just saying.
I'm okay. You know, if this happened like 2 weeks ago, then yeah, okay, I get it. Fire him. Have a good day. And he's off for a long time. But this is, dude, wow, different things. But whatever.
He's gonna be fine. He's got plenty.
Move
of
it along.
Yeah, let's move along. I do want to mention one thing. Bear with me, guys. I know. In honor of Comic-Con, of course. And Mike, you're going to know his person, John Schnepp?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Well,
from
he passed
Collider.
Away.
Yeah,
from Collider
that.
Video, Collider Heroes. He was the King Sweaty, as he called the nerds.
That's what
like,
called
Sweaty nerds, that's what
he
called. Yeah, the Sweaties, yeah. And he ended up passing away tragically, had a heart attack a week before Comic-Con. He was put on life support. I think the blood wasn't going to the brain. And unfortunately, his girlfriend of 14 years was in an unenviable position of having to pull the plug on him.
Ouch.
Right before, nobody wants to be in that situation, right before Comic-Con, which is where that was his stage, you know, that's his
it's
big
rough because he's like he's not on the Jedi Council, but he's like on the superhero
he does the Collider
thing.
Heroes, yeah, and this guy knew his shit, like every time something comes out, I listen to him because I want to hear what he has to say, because this guy knew his stuff, man. He was knee deep in the lore awesome. Of any comic book. He was great. He was funny,
but
guy.
But it decimated the Jedi Council panel for last week. There was barely anybody on it because everybody was so torn up about this, and I guess it was infernal and everything. So,
yeah, and he had a He had a large following. He had a large, and he directed.
He's a good dude. He's funny. He
is. He could, he did.
He had a good. You know, he talked about stuff. He's very knowledgeable. He's a good podcast host.
He is, and he's a lot of fun. He directed the documentary "What Happened to Superman Lives." What happened? The death of Superman Lives. What happened?
Oh yeah, the one about
Tim Burton's chronicled the disastrous production or whatever right. the Superman
with Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage, yeah, and Tim Burton. Good documentary. He did a lot of stuff for Cartoon Network, and I think Robot Chicken. He Metacopolips is one he wrote and directed a lot. But either way, but I do have a story because I did get a chance to meet him about 4 years ago. I think it's before we started doing the podcast. And you know, you guys know Peter, of course, and he's an artist and he sells his stuff from the cons. So I went to the Comic Con up there, and I got to go in early because Peter got me one of those passes to help him out, whatever. So I was able to get like a couple hours early to the con and help him set up and whatever. So he knew I had met him, but I never shared a story before. I kept this one to myself. So, but you know, I figured, given the situation, I'm going to share this story. I have a lot of stories like that, which I keep to myself for whatever reason. This is the way I am. But Peter's like, oh, dude, John Snipe is here. You know, he knew I watched Collider. Oh, great. Let me go find him. So I was standing around. This is when he was just about promoting the Superman movie. And I saw him. This guy's huge. This guy, he's like, he's your size, Mike. He's like 6'5", whatever he is. He's a big guy, dude.
But he outweighs me, I think. He's a pretty chubby dude.
He's like 300 pounds or whatever. He's a big guy. So I met him. I was like, damn, this guy's big. So I started talking to him for a little bit, just introduced myself. I'm a big fan of the Collider and Heroes and all that stuff. So he's just talking to me, right? He's trying to set up his booth, but he took like 5 minutes to talk to me. We're talking about movies and this and that and comics and, you know, what I like to watch. And we talked about, I think, Mad Max was coming out. He had seen it like way early and how excited he was. He said the movie was awesome and it was great. And then he asked me if I was like an artist or something. I was like, no, I'm just here. A friend of mine is here. You know, I'm not, you know, I don't sell anything. I'm just a fan, just here helping my friend out, whatever. And he's like, oh, okay, that's cool. And then I was like, well, yeah, but I am starting a podcast and stuff like that. So he comes out and says, he said, that's great. And yeah, he does podcasts himself, of course, and all that. And I didn't solicit any advice. I was just, you know, we're just talking, you know.
And that wasn't that big then, right? I mean, Collider wasn't huge then. It was okay. Now it's huge.
At the time, I think it was still AMC Movie Talk at the time, right. Before that moved to Collider. So that was a few, before they made that move, Collider bought him out. And so we're just talking. And he's like, oh, doing a podcast about what? Oh, probably about movies and stuff. And this is what me and you, Mike, started talking about doing the podcast.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that's great. And he's like, listen, man, no matter what it is, you're going to get a lot, you know, people may love it, people may hate it. He said, don't even worry about that. Just you do it because you love it.
Just keep right? doing it.
All,
yeah.
Keep doing it. That's all that matters, that you love doing it. And he said, even when I did this movie, he doesn't give a shit if one person sees it or everyone in the world sees it. He does it because he loves to do it. And it makes sense. And I was like, man, that, yeah, he's right.
Just excellent do
it because this is why we do it. It's because we love doing it. And that really stuck with me all these years. And it sucks to see him going all that. So, but that being said, and honor him. In tribute to Mr. John Snipe and his kind words, it's time to get sweaty. And that is Comic-Con time, which unfortunately
can't
enjoy himself. So I want to get sweaty in honor of John Snipe here. This is a subject matter which he absolutely adored, and we do as well. So that being said, we had Chewie, who got a chance to go out there, spend a few days.
He is the king of Comic-Con because this is the second year in a row, Daddy.
He is
second
a sweaty.
In a row, man.
He's truly a sweaty, like the rest of us and all that. But
let me go back to you about your previous story. You do it because you love it. I do it because I want to get paid, dude.
Well, hopefully you're not waiting for that check too long.
This unpaid intern crap ain't gonna fly long term, dude. I'm telling you now.
All because you love it, dude. Only do it because you love it, dude. That's the way I look at it, dude. but let's do two. Is give us your overall thoughts. Let's talk about some of the cool best costumes you saw. What you see? What panels? Give me a couple of panels that you saw, and which panel? Give me one panel that stood out, and share with us exactly why and what was the news and all that.
So I was there for 3 days. I got there Wednesday, and we had tickets for Thursday, Saturday. Overall impressions was very, very positive. I mean, like I said, I have a great time. I'm not known for going to these previously. I think our first one was 2011, and that was like more of a bucket list type situation. Was like, you know, I've heard all these things, let's go. We took my son. It was great bonding, it was great times. Then we finally be able to get back 6 years later, and then this year it's like now daughter, wife, but my wife this time around, she loved it, I think, as much as I did. I think from her point of view, all she wanted to do was see Jason Momoa. And course. I made it my mission. The rock star. I made it my mission accomplished.
He's no Tom Cruise, but I digress.
No, but you know what? That dude is going to be, I think he's going to be huge after this movie comes out. I mean, literally.
He has a potential being that, yes, we'll see down the road. But
it was so funny because, I'm kind of jumping ahead, but I'm jumping to Saturday, right? And so I knew what time WB was going to wrap up the panels. And from history from last year, about half hour later, they come out to do their signatures at the DC booth, right? WB, it's a WB property, but the DC movies, they go to the DC stage, do the trailer, the whole nine yards, you know, whole show. The guys come out, wave and pictures and, you know, mass pandemonium, essentially. So I knew we had to be down there by 1 o'clock. So we get down there right at one, and you can already see there's a massive crowd around the DC booth. I'm like, ah, shit, we're too late. And I told my wife, and she was like, I go, I think that's Aquaman. My wife just makes beeline for the booth and saying, I told her, hey, I got the kids, go do your thing. We're good. And she's short, so she snuck in on the security, got in there, got videos, the pictures, Aquaman, hair down, hair up. All the women, even the guys, dude, even the guys are in awe. The women are pretty much, you know, trying to keep this family friendly. But yeah, swooning to say the least.
The panties being thrown on stage.
That's right.
Almost, man, almost. I was like, Jesus Christ.
That's hilarious.
The guy is cool cat, dude. The guy is cool cat, you know.
He seems like a great guy to go have a beer with. That's the guy to go get a beer with in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, dude. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, so let's go back. So I was there for 3 days. It was, like I said, positive, a lot of great costumes, a lot of very positive energy, nothing really negative about it. You know, there's lines, there's waiting, but you could get to anything you really wanted to. I think the big thing from this year, this was like the year to try to get into Hall H, because you could have, and I could have had I known, and it was just stupid not to try. But it was just great, great, good times, man. It was just so much fun, it's so much energy, and you get to, even if you're not a geek, you get into it. You know, Funko, Legos, toys, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, whatever everything you're into, comics, art, you know, for movies, TV, radio, podcasting. This is your mecca. You know, this is where you go do it, man.
The seventh circle of geekdom, I like to call it.
Yeah, exactly. As far as the panels I hit, you know, so I was kind of being a little bit selective because from previous experience, you know, I knew I couldn't try to get into the big rooms because I'm not into waiting in lines overnight. And
right.
Hall H and Ballroom 20 are notorious for people waiting, you know, sleeping overnight to try to get tickets to these damn halls. This year, with no Game of Thrones and no HBO and no Marvel, maybe I should have been a clue saying, okay, maybe this would need to do. But I did try. My first panel to try to get into was the Clone Wars. And I was just dying because I was a big Clone Wars fan. Dave Filoni was going to be there. And honestly, I knew nothing of what they were going to announce. I thought this is just 10-year reunion, blah, 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 shoot the breeze, talk about the series, whatever. And then obviously, I tried to get in. I got there a little late because I didn't think it was going to be that packed. And then I come to find out that's where they announced the return of the Clone Wars series. And I was like, oh, guys are killing me.
They had a damn trailer.
Yeah, I was like, I saw it on my phone. I was like, no. So I made sure to get to every panel after that extra early just to make sure I got my seat. But the one I had most fun at was, you know, and I know my brother's going to have an issue with this, but was the Iron Fist 2 panel. Dude.
Well, we'll talk about the trailer a little bit later, but what about the panel itself? Or what was announced that just made it so riveting, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, to your surprise, it was a packed house. So there was 2,000 people in there for Iron Fist 2. Okay, so even at the issues of the first season, people still wanted to see it, and it's still a Marvel property.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and well, that too. I mean, they had Finn Jones, they had Misty. You know, they had
Misty Knight was in it.
What was that?
Misty Knight.
Yeah, she's in season 2. Yes, she is. They brought out Alice Eve, so she's going to be Typhoid Mary, one of the villains in season 2. And Davos, he couldn't make it, but he did a little video introduction. Episode saying he's going to be in there for season 2. So, I mean, they showed so much footage. It's like they almost showed a whole episode of different footage, because they had the obviously new showrunner. New fight choreographer who knows what he's doing, and they kind of focus a lot of what they showed on the new fighting and the close-ups and the action, and kind of, you know, kind of saying, okay, they kind of implied, okay, they learned their lessons from season one, and this is how they're going to make it better, more riveting, more real, and better story, better character development, and just better experience all around. And so I was like, I was all in. I was like, oh, it's great, well, man.
You can't make it worse.
Jose and I talked about this, that they should have used the mask in the first season because they could have swapped out Finn Jones for somebody that could actually fight.
Agreed.
I will say that there is scenes with the mask in this in this season.
That's good, and that's what I like.
And when they showed the mask, people just went apeshit.
Really? Of course.
Yeah, like, ah, the mask.
And you mentioned before that Luke Cage is going to be in it as well, at least make it appearance.
Yes. I mean, yeah, he's going to make it appearance. He's not late. Misty Knight, I think, is in it because she's partnering with Colleen.
Right.
Kind of similar to what they did with a couple episodes and on Luke Cage. So he'll be in there for maybe an episode at most, but which is still pretty good. So we all love Luke Cage.
Did you see any? Well, I don't know. Like, my brain just fell out of my head. The old lady, was she in it?
The old lady.
Madame Gao. Sorry.
Well, I mean, they didn't talk about it, but they didn't show any footage that where she was in it.
Okay.
She was a big part of the
there were some Fist flashback scenes, some good fighting flashback scenes at Shaolin. Or Cowlan, whatever it's called.
Right.
Before he became Iron Fist, so they're gonna have some of that in there as well. So a little bit of history. And stuff.
I mean, the biggest thing, if they can at least, if nothing else, fix the action sequences, the fight choreography, the fighting itself. I think that's obviously a big part.
So many missed opportunities in that first season.
Right, that's one of the reasons why I really didn't.
But what I saw, they did. But again, it was a small snippet, so let's see
the
when it comes out.
Trailer I saw didn't look red hot, but. Yeah.
That's fair. I mean, all right. Yeah, well, like I said, it's coming out. When is that coming out?
That drops, I want to say, October 5th.
Okay, so it's not too far away.
That's pretty much a year after the last one dropped, right?
I think so. The last one came out during the fall last year. So, yeah, it could be close to a year, more or less, I guess.
Another panel that was on Thursday was a lot of fun that I kind of convinced my kids to go. It was called 1988. The Greatest Geek Year Ever, Yippee-Ki-Yay Edition. And so they brought in a bunch of, not celebrities, but well-known directors, producers, guys who in the industry to talk about several movies from 1988 that made it such a great year. And obviously Die Hard was on top of that list. Who Framed Roger Rabbit, A Fish Called Wanda,
nice.
Beetlejuice, Big. So it had one guy talk about that movie and what made it part of the night being that year so great. Huh. And at the end, the funny thing was about that, well, they all 100% agreed Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
That Bruce Willis screwed all that up.
Chewie's wrong again.
Like we said, dude. Ho, ho, ho.
the guy who was Mark Burden, who's on the Fat Man on Batman podcast with Kevin Smith.
He's part of that panel.
He's actually a writer on Castle Rock now and another show. But he did the Die Hard movie and talked about it, and that he summed it up saying, "And it's the best Christmas movie ever."
There we go. This mic drop, dude. That's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Yeah, pretty much. So, argument settled. Done and done.
That's what I've been saying.
That sounds like a fun panel.
It was. I mean, it was interesting.
I like
people
that.
People talking about geek stuff and movies, and that's kind of like what we do. They were just talking about the movie and selling the movie and what made it so great and stuff.
That's cool. I like that. That's a cool panel to go check out.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to some of the big stuff that happened, of course. We're going to do we're going to enter the trailer park here. And we'll talk about some of these trailers, but then overall, we'll talk about some of these panels and some other news associated with the trailer itself and all that. So we got to start with WB, right? I think they had the stage, particularly DC, had the stage themselves, if you will. They needed to come out, swing for the fences, and I thought they did that.
Yes.
They had a really, really good showing. WB had a great showing. DC had a great showing. So let's start first with... the biggest trailer, I think the one we're all waiting for the most, and that's Aquaman.
Right.
Let's start with Mike. What are your thoughts about The Man of the Ocean?
5 stars. I thought it was great.
Really?
I liked it a lot. I thought it was very interesting. It's funny because Fabian was sitting talking crap about it. And I just don't see how anybody couldn't like that. I thought it looked awesome. I thought I loved seeing Black Manta. I liked seeing Orin in there. Mira looks fantastic. It's just a great I think I'm really excited for that movie, and the imagery looks awesome. And you know, there's haters out there trying to make comparisons to Thor Ragnarok, but no,
this movie. I would. It's not the same thing.
I know you saw that, right?
Yeah, I don't agree.
I didn't get the comparisons either. They're just trying to screw with it. It was a great trailer. I don't care what anybody says.
And well, what does Chewie say?
I mean, I was throwing my panties in there when I saw that trailer on the floor, dude.
Oh, wow. That's an image.
Fair enough.
No, because, I mean, like I said,
that's all we have for today, guys. Let's wrap it up.
Mic drop. No, I mean, because I saw it. I mean, obviously, I saw it come on my phone, but then I knew I wanted to rush down to the floor because last year did the same thing with Justice League, and you were there. I missed it because I took my son to a Lego panel. And so this year, like I said, I made a point, I'm going to be downstairs. I want to see what happens. And after they finished the signing, then the director came out. And Michael Wan, what's the guy? Wan?
James Wan.
He was he's out there, came out and announced this again. And for you guys here on the floor, here was a trailer for Aquaman, and they put it on the screens, and everybody just went ape shit. And yeah, I was like, oh, this is great, man. It's awesome.
it was really good. And it had this kind of this more of a sci-fi fantasy vibe,
right?
Than a superhero movie, I think. That's what it seemed like. I love the world, right? It looks great. I know the CG's not all finished yet, so whatever, I can nitpick if I wanted to, but it's early. It looked great. It looked fun, dude. I mean, I like the tone of it.
The black man in particular looked
really cool. And it's funny because in the panel, they actually showed an extended trailer, an extended footage in the trailer that we haven't seen yet, where they showed a lot of same stuff in the trailer, but they extended some extra scenes, particularly one with Black Manta where they're fighting, and I guess in his rooftops, whatever. He's got his henchmen chasing Mera.
He shoots the freaking huge.
The same sequence. They said it was awesome. They said they liked the footage even better than the trailer because you have to see more in context of what's going on. There's another scene where they're trying to find something. It's very humorous. They love the tone. So it came out very positive. And I think it's the greatest trailer of all time. I'm like, oh my God, and it's the greatest thing ever.
I just think it looked really good. I thought it looked great.
Great vibe. That was seen when he's a little kid and the messing with him. Excuse me. And then the shark like hits against the glass and all the fish behind him line up. That shit was awesome. That was cool. That was a good money shot. There was also one huge money shot they talked about because I guess he's wearing like the old school, like the orange and green.
Yes.
Yeah, they showed it. Yeah.
With the try and he comes out at the end. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh my God, everybody losing their, you know, with geekasms all over the place from what I hear. A lot of panties dropping, but it was good. It was a really good trailer. I thought that, you know, they needed to come with the hard with this trailer, for obvious reasons, and I think they did a good job. And the same can be said about, for me anyway, for Shazam. That's the other big trailer.
That was a lot of fun, man. I was surprised because I knew nothing about it.
That trailer was a blast. I was like, going, this is what DC needs for this particular property, because that thing can go south super fast.
It can be real cheesy, campy. You're right. It was fun, dude. I was laughing. This guy, I forget his name, who plays
Zachary Levi.
He has this kind of this. I don't know, something about him. He's just very youthful and all that, and it worked really well. Youthful energy he has.
But he's also very tall, so that makes it awesome too.
No, he's got the look. He looks legit, but it's just he's got this kind of boyish charm about him, which is obviously why
he's a fanboy, man. He's a fanboy at the end of the day.
Yeah, it was really. I hear this all the time. It being compared to Big, with a superhero,
That's a pretty good comparison.
No, it's a fair comparison. Which is fine. You know what? Like I said, I like when these comic book movies go different directions, jump into other genres, and give us something different. This was fun, man. I like what I saw. It was funny, dude. The scene in the when he's bulletproof, I thought it was hilarious. I mean, you guys are dead. It was just a lot of. I'm a superhero, you know. Really cool. It's like a really fun.
What? I'm a superhero. What?
Yeah, exactly. It's really cool. I was impressed, man. I was really curious about this one, and now I'm excited for it. Well, I wasn't excited before. I'm like, okay, all right, I like what I'm seeing here. And I think that's they show some Wonder Woman stuff where they talk about the footage that they saw. It was that quick snippet where she's, you know, in the mall, that scene. We saw a picture with Chris Pine in the mall, whatever, with the members jacket. It was an extension of that scene where she's fighting a couple of guys, the lasso, blah, 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 and she's running around, whatever. But they said it looked different, more colorful, different palette, and even Patty Jenkins came out saying she didn't just want to come out and do the same thing and give us a Wonder Woman we saw before and just put it back on screen. She wanted to give us something different. Good. So it seems like DC is really going in the right direction here. Thank God.
It took long enough.
It took long enough, and I think they may have something here. I think with Aquaman hits like we hope it is. And Shazam looks funny and fun. And I'm not expecting the greatest movie of all time, but we don't need to be. We just need to be fun movies. That's what Marvel does well, right? Marvel doesn't always give us home runs. They don't, but they give us good quality stuff consistently over the last 10 years.
Right.
Also when we want DC. Shazam just has to be good and fun. Aquaman has to be
stop
good.
Stop trying exciting. To hit fucking dingers and put something.
Yeah. Yeah, don't worry about tying stuff in, because it seems like and it's interesting because all three movies, even Wonder Woman, they talked about comparing the footage they saw, were completely different, which is good, because before Suicide Squad, Man of Steel, BVS, whatever, however you feel about these movies, they look kind of the same, had the same kind of tone for the most part.
Kind of here dark. It
seems you can tell like the WB was in the driver's seat, and it seems like now they're giving the keys to the directors,
right?
You know, to the David Sandberg, who is, it's funny because I think the guy who heads WB now, or DC, is a horror guy. He the producer of the Conjuring franchise, whatever you want to call it. Now we got, you know, James Wan, who's a horror guy for the most part. We got David Sandberg, who is a horror guy. So it's interesting. He's bringing these people who are not in the movies in the genre and giving the keys to, hey, guys, do what you want to do, you know? Because Shazam, it's funny. It's not a horror movie at all, you know? And by any stretch of the imagination. So I like where they're going, man. I like what I'm seeing here. And they could really turn us around really quick. Give us three good movies in a row, and everybody's back on board. And now they're not worried about connectivity and, is the plan. Just give us good movies. All you have to do.
Just have one fun at with a time. It. Right.
Yeah, have fun with it. Give the director some leeway. Let them do what they want to do without having to worry about the tone, matching. Who gives a shit? Just give us a good freaking movie, and people will be on board again. Then down the road, hopefully you get Man of Steel 2, for Christ's sake. They got Batman coming out, and you can do that. You can do a Batman Dark. That's fine.
And all the Joker movies. Joker for you. Joker for me.
You're gonna Joker. You're gonna Joker.
I mean, about 8 movies. One of them's got to be good, right?
You think?
I mean, I guess. I mean, well, this they didn't talk
let's
about.
Let's see what happens before we comment, and let's wait.
True that.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I mean, before all that, we're gonna get 3 movies coming out before even the Joker movie comes out.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken, maybe Wonder Woman a little right after. But either way, if Aquaman hits, everybody's back on board. Because I think Shazam's going to be a good movie. I got a feeling that one's, I said, man, it'd be amazing. But it's going to be fun. The kids going to like it. It hits all four quadrants, kids, families, men, women. I think it's one of those kind of movies that everyone's going to kind of enjoy. It's almost like an Ant-Man vibe, maybe, under its tone. So it's good for them, man. DC hit it. They would have to do. And WB as a whole did a great job. Move on. I want to do a movie, TV, because there was so much trailers for everything. So the next one here, Nunchu, I'll leave off with you, because I know you're a big fan as I am, is the Better Call Saul. Dropped and all that. What were you
thinking? That was one of two panels I wish I could have gone Hall H on Thursday, but there was no chance of getting in there, because that was a Breaking Bad reunion, and then Better Call Saul right next to it. I saw the pictures and interviews and the footage, and I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
And obviously kind of dropping the hint that we might see a certain teacher coming up this season.
Yeah, well
maybe.
Wait. As far as who are we talking about here? Not White.
No.
I'll get to that in a second. But
how can that be?
No, I'll get to that in a second.
Because it's catching up to the same timing. Breaking Bad started.
I saw the panel online, or the Breaking Bad panel. It was a lot of fun. It was fun. They talk about cool stories behind the scenes and all that. But they came out and said that for sure, guaranteed. And this wasn't one of those red herrings. And no, it's not. They came out emphatically saying that they're not going to be in season 4 of Breaking Bad. However, Bob Odenkirk.
If you saw my pictures, I saw him on Wednesday having a nice little lunch. I'm like, hey, better call Saul.
He called Saul. But he came out and said that, don't forget, there's other characters. And he pointed to Hank. And he's like, remember, he had met Hank. The Hank and him had known each other already when his first episode of Breaking Bad, he was familiar with Saul. Right, so he pretty much dropped the hint that it seems like we're going to get Hank in there, which makes sense. Because he's probably investigating cartel stuff with Gus and all that, so that which makes sense. But there's no Walt and Jesse. Maybe season 5, but they talked about it. But it's a really cool panel. But the trade off that Better Call Saul, man, looked really good. It's drawing closer and closer to Breaking Bad.
Gustavo Fring, characters of all time. The Primos, you know.
Primos are back. Obviously, you got Etio and it's funny because I this is not really a spoiler because the trailer had it, but I didn't know that I wasn't sure his brother had died in the end of episode, the last episode of season 3.
No, he's dead.
Yeah, well, I wasn't sure when it ended. I'm like, okay, you know.
Maybe, oh yeah, they kind of left it off, open it. No, yeah, they confirm he's they confirm,
yeah. I think it starts in the wake funeral. Yeah, so I guess he is dead. It's kind of surprised me. But that would probably be the beginning of his downfall or whatever. Ascension to Saul. So that's, I'm looking forward to that. And that was a really cool panel. If you got big fans, YouTube has the full 40 minutes of the Better Call Saul, which is great. Next one up, man. I thought this one was my favorite of Comic-Con. Mike, we'll start with you, and that's Glass.
Oh my gosh. I thought that was a great trailer. Listen, we got a good year ahead of us as far as movies go. I didn't have one thing about that trailer that I didn't like. I thought it was fantastic. They started out great. You know, it was great. It was great.
Yeah, I love the tone of it. It had that good blend of Split and Unbreakable tone kind of mixed in, which is where it needs to be, obviously. Chewie, did you like as much? I mean, I love this trailer.
Oh, I loved it. My wife loved that. She didn't see Split, and she was like, dying to see Mr. Glass now.
She hasn't seen Split.
No. She didn't see it. She thought it was horror. She didn't know what kind of movie it was. I saw it. I loved it. And
I had to drag my people back to watch Unbreakable because they saw Split, but they hadn't seen Unbreakable, so they didn't understand.
I know. We saw Unbreakable way back when, and we loved it.
Oh, yeah. And Unbreakable, this is one of these movies where Unbreakable was ahead of its time. People didn't know what this whole comic book thing was. I mean, this came out the same year as X-Men, so it hadn't taken off yet. So this whole take on this realistic look at comic books, I think, will work better now than it did back then because a lot of people didn't know what it was, which I get. Now that movie would have come out now, I think people would have been more receptive to it than it was, and I think it's gotten more buzz as the years have gone by. But Glass, man, this could really do well, man. I mean, a grounded superhero buy with a trope.
It's also like three legitimate superstars in that movie too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, as long as Bruce Willis tries, which I think he is.
McAvoy.
Yeah.
Samuel Jackson.
Looks like he's trying in the movie.
It looked great, man. It looks so. I mean, I can't wait for his movie. The only thing I'm worried about. Because with M. Night, you're always thinking about the tweet. You know, if something's in there, some review. You just can't help it, you know, for better or worse. But what's her name? Sarah Paulson? She's, I guess, the doctor who's...
Right. No. I actually loved her in that trailer.
No. She's great. I'm thinking that I got a strange feeling that she's going to end up being a superhero as well.
Okay. We'll see.
I got a feeling.
Isn't that great? I mean, that's...
It is if I hadn't thought about it, but now I'm like, it's out there. Sorry, guys.
Right, because she's the one that's saying it's nice all going, BS and mentor. Because
you know how it is. She's the one.
Spoiler alert, dickhead.
Spoiler. Pre-spoiler. it seems like she's helping him out, like all delusional, and then she finds out that they're not probably. Maybe she finds out that she's the same way. I don't know. Well, she's got some abilities that she's unaware of. That's what I'm thinking. But it looks great, man. I can't wait for this one.
Thank
God this movie comes out in January. So this will be the first one to come out next year off the gate. Hope it doesn't fuck up. Hope it doesn't fuck this up, but it looks really good.
I think it looks fantastic.
Iron Fist, true. I know your thoughts, but Mike, I didn't get Iron Fist. It wasn't a huge trailer,
it looked
but
okay, it wasn't huge. The fighting, I wasn't impressed with again, so I was a little bummed out by that. But other than that, it looked good. It looked fine.
Yeah, it was a quick trailer. I know Chewie saw more footage than we did, so based on what we saw,
a lot more. They had extended fight scenes that were obviously not in the trailer. The trailer was more of a teaser for dropping a date, but
it really
I saw
fight scenes. It didn't impress me.
There's just one scene where they show him literally there's a Mack truck coming at him. He sidesteps, gives his fist, and like literally knocks the engine out of it. It was just so badass, man.
That's kind of cool. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry. Spoiler alert. there's a brutal, and I mean brutal.
Does Bruce Willis come out too, dude, for Christ's sake?
No, Bruce Willis. No twist. But there is, I mean, this season is definitely a lot more brutal, bloodier than by far than any of the other Marvel series. And that's comparing it to The Punisher, that says a lot because that was pretty.
That's what I said. Maybe they're taking some feedback from how popular The Punisher was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So. I said, they can't do worse, so they can only go up from here. So let's see. I know it comes out soon. We'll talk about that later. The next one here, I know, Mike, I know what you're going to say. So I'll start with Chewie. This one got a lot of good buzz. I'm not sure why it's standing. I'm kind of in the middle. But Godzilla, part of WB's presentation. Ooh. I mean, what'd you think of that trailer? Okay, right?
I'm not excited for it.
No, honestly. I think me and Jose have the same opinion.
Yeah, I'm excited for the movie, honestly. I mean, I'll catch it on Netflix, but
It got everybody went gaga over this Dan Schrader. I don't get it. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad. Like, I was fine.
No, it wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad. People were like, oh my god,
it wasn't anything I'm interested in.
Yeah, it was like the best trade at Comic Con. I'm like, no,
slow your roll.
I heard that a lot. I heard a lot.
Was
that
Peter lost his mind about the show?
Well, yeah. Well, Peter, he had it. He dropped his panties for that trailer. But
for Hellboy trailer, dude. Come on.
I was talking to Fabian about it, where the kind of the trailer was like did an injustice here because it kind of gave you the villain already in what's her face.
Right. I mean, I don't know the names of the alt characters, but they showed all of them.
Well, not her, but just I mean, not them, but the she's doing a narration in the movie. I think it's gonna be Millie Bobby Brown's mother who plays.
Bobby
Brown. She's narrating. She seems like she's the villain. It's like did you just give that away? It was kind of weird. I mean, I don't know. But again, I'm not excited about the movie.
That was terrible. I just thought to me the trailer was like, oh, swipe way. Right.
Yeah. But there was a lot more trailers I was more interested in seeing than that one.
So. Yes.
Oh yeah, and it's funny because I was talking to Fabian the other night because he was in Mission Impossible as well. He said that Godzilla, man, he got fat too, man. He's pulling up Ben Rames. Because man, Godzilla looks kind of puffy, dude. It's like, damn, dude.
Me Fabian.
It's nice to be the king. Next one here, back to TV. Now this one, oh god. Of course, let's go back to this. Is the only thing that DC did wrong. Not that it's true DC, but it's DC TV. Not that is Titans. This trailer dropped.
Batman.
I'm getting the impression you didn't like it, dude.
Who, me?
I freaking hated it.
No, my brother.
I thought it was awful.
I thought it was just okay.
The first awful. 30 seconds was cool when he said fuck Batman. I was like, okay. I was surprised. I didn't think that kind of show was going to be that mature. But, dude, then it turned to typical young adult crap mixed in with the CW shit we see. It looked ridiculous.
Look, my own issue is
it's going to be the first show on the DC streaming service.
It might be the last show on DC.
They were pushing all over the convention the DC Universe streaming server. And I mean hard, dude.
Of course, they have to.
They won $75 bucks for a year, by the way, for the first year.
Yeah, let's talk about
it's going to be $100 bucks.
I mean, first of all, man, who liked the trailer?
It's Disney obviously pushing their streaming service now as well, obviously using Clone Wars
right.
He was the first series coming out on the streaming service for Disney. And now I'm like, crap, now I can't afford to buy every single goddamn channel, man.
Well, hold up here. But do you think, I mean, who liked the trailer?
I thought it was entertaining. I didn't think it was
okay. It wasn't great.
I mean, I thought the tone is way too dark for what they're trying to do. It just didn't make sense to me.
It looked to me like it was a fan film, honestly.
They're trying too hard to be dark and all my edgy. They don't have to be. It should be a fun kind of vibe. It's Titans. They're fun, the young group. You know, I don't know. That's just me.
I mean, I guess, you know, coming from the Teen Titan, which is cartoony and kiddie.
Right. It seems too extreme to one end.
It is DC.
It's DC TV. Let's not differentiate. Let's not mix everything in a
sense. Because DC TV is actually, there's got some good shows. I mean, I don't watch because I'm
they
not. Like,
no, they do.
Arrow and Flash are good shows.
We're not 22 episode seasons anymore. But they do. They strike a good balance.
They've done well for the most part. They've done well.
The Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow and The Flash.
Legends of Tomorrow is cheesy, but Flash is good.
Flash is good. I mean, whatever. Et cetera. But what do you think about this? So tonight, here's another subscription channel. I think it was $75 for the year, $7.99 a month. I mean, does this sound like it's going to work here? Because this sounds to me like
it's $75 for the year, but you get the first that's including the first 3 months for free. That's the first year.
It's gonna be
the
like
second year, it's going to be $99 a year, like the WWE Network.
Right, $100. So it's like what $8-$9 a year for a month. A month. I mean, I see this.
I just don't see what they're offering is that you're going to be able to get severe discounts on like figures and statues. You're going to have a free comic book subscription service and a couple other things. To me, it doesn't look enough for me to pay that. But I'm just saying, I think they better do better than that.
It just seems a little too niche for them to compete with like a Netflix and Amazon. Yeah, Disney coming out.
Why does everyone come out with their own streaming channel? I don't get it.
I think they're looking at how WWE Network is making money, and everybody's trying to emulate.
Yeah, but I mean, why? You know, because not only them, they all want to have their own channel because they was cutting the cord. I get it, but what's wrong with just licensing to Netflix, to Hulu? They take the part of the cost. You get your money
because they think
on viewership and done.
Because they want, everybody wants to, you know, it's like the brand and the own, like,
well, Disney, yeah, but doing not everybody's, you know, you know what's gonna change when these channels start failing. Then they'll go back to, okay, well, let's go to the guys who know what they're doing and not.
No, that's exactly what this is not gonna last.
I want Disney to fail. I want CBS to fail. I want all of these streaming services to fail because it doesn't work.
Is already failing.
I mean, it works for Disney because Disney's got the content.
It's
and
not
they got
gonna
the,
work for Disney either.
Oh, it's gonna work for Disney because they got the IP. They got the Marvel and Star Wars. They can do shows for the next 20 years, and we're all going to eat it up because that's how we are.
We'll see. They have enough content, but let's see what they actually do with it. Because if it's crap shows, you know what? I ain't buying it.
Don't get me wrong. It's all
they're
about quality.
They're going to suck people in with Disney movies.
But I mean, if these shows are good, I mean, we didn't think Netflix was going to be like this either. No one said, oh, I can't wait for a Netflix TV show. I mean, it just happened to be that way. But if they come out, and their quality, they're going to do just fine. DC is
Titan City doesn't look like quality, so you've lost
it. That's what I'm saying.
No,
you got
it's like a fan film. Show. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's a bunch of old TV shows, and it's cool, but not a monthly rate. I don't know. I don't see it's lasting. You know, we'll see. And Titan's not, for me, it's not a good way to sell the show and the channel, in my opinion, but it is what it is. We're going to skip ahead because we're short on time here, so let's get a couple more traders real quick.
Plenty of time.
Alita. That one dropped recently. I know it wasn't part of Comic-Con. There was some footage shown at Comic-Con.
I think that trailer looks really cool. I don't know if it's going to be any good, but it looks cool.
Look cool.
I smell bomb.
You're probably right.
This is going to tank, dude. They're making a huge mistake.
And didn't this one get pushed out or from its original release date, by the way?
It did, which is, okay. To me, that's always a reflection.
Bad sign. That's a bad sign.
It's a bad... The trailer looked okay, but...
I thought it looked interesting and cool, but again, nobody knows this property. I know this property because I'm a fan of anime, but it's not. It's nobody knows this property. It's not going to go. It's not going to be a viable property. It's going to be
this movie by itself wouldn't be that successful. But now it's slotted in with Bumblebee, Aquaman, Mary Poppins, other Sherlock
Holmes comics. They tried a live action, a Full dude, Metal Alchemist.
Good luck.
That bombed too, dude.
It's not going to work. You can't put that movie against those behemoths. You're not going to win. And that's this expensive movie. Move the movie. I don't understand these. Even Aquaman, I say move that shit, dude. You don't want any piece of Mary Poppins, dude. That movie's going to bank because it's Disney. It's Christmas and it's a family.
Little
movie.
Girls.
And Aquaman's still going to do fine. Don't get me wrong. But you got Bumblebee as well. That's going to make money, dude. No matter what we think of Transformers, they make money. They do. Dude, that Alita is going to freaking tank, dude. Like the Titanic, dude. It's going to be ugly and really bad, dude. They need to move
down
that
she button. Goes.
Down she goes. Dude. Jack ain't saving. Jack is dying again. Rose ain't surviving this shit, dude. It's just not going to work. It's not going to work. So, I, big mistake. Someone's getting fired for that. The next one, this next couple aren't Comic Cons, but they dropped right before, and I kind of want to talk about them. Bohemian Rhapsody, latest shit.
Dude, I'm so
on board with this shit. I love it,
dude.
Yeah, man,
that's amazing.
It looks so good, dude. And there was the things I was concerned about. They addressed whether they want to touch on the sexuality, which it seemed like it did. Mm-hmm. And there was a scene where he mentioned about how much time he has, kind of alluding to the sickness and the
right.
And
so it's gonna turn into a whole.
Right, I think so. I hope so. It could just be a couple of small things, but
it
hope
looks
that
good. I just am worried about the music. I'm worried about how they're gonna incorporate the music into it. How they're gonna do, how the lip syncing is gonna look, how it's gonna sound. I think that's the least of my worries.
That's the least.
I'm a huge Queen fan. I just don't want it to suck.
The music parts and the concert scenes look fantastic.
Well,
and this guy,
but you haven't really seen any. I don't know. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, it's
a lot of these kind of movies really don't work. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm expecting the best, but I'm sorry. I want the best, but I'm expecting the worst.
Negative Nancy.
Jeez. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying.
Debbie Downer, dude. Eat a Twinkie.
Yeah, dude. There's nothing wrong with some fat bottom girls, dude. You know, it's relishing it, dude. Relishing it. The last one, J.J. Abrams produced, I think, The Overlord. The zombie.
Oh, I saw that.
Movie. I mean, yeah. I'm alone here. I didn't like it, dude.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. It didn't make sense to me, honestly.
I don't know. I Chewie, am I?
Nazi, zombies, okay. Well, I guess so someone's playing Call of Duty too much, I guess. I don't know, dude.
That's fine. I mean, it's just, I don't care if it's zombie. That's fine. I like a good zombie flick, and, you know, but it just
but it didn't look like it made any sense.
It didn't look good at all, man. I mean, this is another one he's getting a lot of buzz for whether good or bad, I guess. And I thought a lot of people like this trade a lot. I just didn't see it. I'm like, okay, sure. Again, it reeks of bomb. I mean,
what's that?
I mean, it's World War III at the end of this year, because this is going to bomb. That Peter Jackson was going to bomb. Alita is going to bomb. And I guarantee you someone else, whether it be Bumblebee, is going to bomb as well.
Also, you know, that the new Harry Potter.
That I want to talk about, dude. The Crimes of Grindelwald.
I think it looks awesome.
That's one of the ones I skip. Fine. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Dude, I was so excited when I saw the drop. I forgot they were going to be at Comic-Con. And it looks great, man. I'm excited.
Fantastic.
I'm geeked out.
And again, like I said, I like Colin Farrell in the last one, but I think Depp looks even better in this movie.
And Johnny, it was funny. Johnny Depp actually made a surprise appearance at the panel, came out in full Grindelwald garb, you know,
hair,
in character.
Hair blonde.
Yeah. The whole nine yards. Yes, full character. And I was like, oh, it was so awesome. I wish I'd been there to see it. It was great.
Yeah, he's done it before. I think he came out with like Captain Jack, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So he's done it before.
Yeah, he's done it before. So, yeah. I mean, like I said, it's not for me.
It looks dark. It looks a lot of fun. I'm excited for it. I
love this thing. I love that they're doing a totally different story, but kind of incorporating Dumbledore into it. I love the Newt Scamander character. I think he's great. I love that the Muggle that hangs out with him, the fat guy with the mustache.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be great. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm so excited. Yeah,
not my thing. Not saying his badge is not my thing, but I get it. I totally do. So
yeah.
My brother
is
just a Muggle, dude. He's just a plain Muggle. Muggle.
I'll say this: I don't smoke.
No match. So. He's a real no match.
I wonder if the Twitter mafia is going to go after people that use the term Muggle.
Oh, God, they have enough to chew on with Johnny Depp anyway. But let's get a trade apart. Just before we sign off here, because we're running late here. Just a couple of tidbits that people were talking about. The first one was the Venom Predator reactions. Did you guys see any of this stuff? And they didn't show any footage to the public per se, just in these panels.
Just in the panels, yes.
The panels, but boy, I get that. I get that smell again.
Yeah.
I'm smelling.
I think Venom's gonna tank.
I'm smelling bombs here. I'm smelling more bombs.
I don't know, dude. I mean, well, I'm gonna see it. You know, take my money.
I'm moving to watch. Cause I know people. This is, with Venom, it was more like, I wouldn't say bad reactions, just not good reactions for whatever that's worth. Nobody came out of it like, oh my god, can't wait for Venom. Yeah. And I heard they botched part of the presentation, which figures. But it just, the Predator one was pretty divisive, because I guess people either love the tone or they hate it, because they showed a lot more of the dialogue, and, you know, Shane Black, he's witty and I like his stuff, and it seemed like the jokes, people were just, it was not landing, and describe one of the scenes.
It's with context and shit like that. It's just tough.
But they were showing scenes. Like, you know, it wasn't a trailer. They were showing them actual 10, 15-minute scenes of these movies. So you can get a good vibe of the tone from 15 minutes. And instead, it just didn't go together. Like, that tone, whatever that comedic trying to say, it just doesn't fit with Predator. Yeah. It doesn't. You know, and it's just, it's like, is it a comedy? And I heard some people liked it, some didn't. So I'm concerned. And it is September movie, so that doesn't really
get to the chopper.
It doesn't expire confidence, and it reeks of bombs. It's just, whew, man, I don't know. The Halloween one, though, however, which I'm excited for, that one got a lot of positive buzz. Huge. They showed a great sequence of him chasing and going down the neighborhood, and what's cool about it, he's walking down, he's killing people, but they didn't show him killing people.
Is Jamie Lee Curtis in that? She's in that too, right?
Yeah, she was on the panel. She talked about how, you know, the whole thing, and she's talking about how it's, I guess, the whole retconning of all the other sequels, and it's really a true sequel to the first Halloween, which I like that idea anyway. The footage looked great. It said that there's a one shot of him walking. It said it looked fantastic, great tone. I'm super excited about that. Bumblebee got good reactions as well. Go figure. You know, heartwarming, like they were saying. You know, John Cena came out.
John Cena had some of the best costumes as Bumblebee, and that Hulk was amazing, dude.
That Hulk was amazing, dude. Yeah, those who haven't seen it, yeah, if you go to our Facebook page, Chewie put a bunch of pictures on there, and that him as the Hulk was amazing. He was huge. He was tall as hell. I'm like, oh my god,
that guy's big enough as it is, dude.
He's amazing. Like 6'4", dude. He's a big dude.
No, but that
costume, in this picture, he's taller than 6'4". He's like 7'4".
Yeah, he was huge. Awesome costumes, and Chewie, thanks for putting all the pictures up. I forgot to mention that before, and all the videos and stuff.
A lot of awesome stuff, dude.
Really cool. But that one, that Bumblebee got a lot of love, and Lego Movie, from what I read, got okay reception. You know, but again, for whatever that's worth, whatever. And the last one was the Spider Verse one. A lot of good buzz, man. And I,
the Miles Morales thing.
The movie, fine. Well, he's really not Latino, but what, he's half. What it's better than nothing. We'll take.
Close
he's not
enough. Hey, close enough, dude. We'll take it.
We'll take it. We're inching forward to equality.
It's animated. We'll take it.
Yeah, we're inching forward to equality. It's surprising to get Michael Pena to voice in
Michael Pena's playing a gang member.
Yeah, I'm sure. But it looks cool. That looks interesting. Yeah. But it's a lot of cool stuff. I mean, the end of this year looks like it's a lot of good shit to watch. Next year is going to be a monster. We'll get into that later this year.
Yeah.
But next year is going to be an absolute monster year for all, which is great. Again, I want to cut it short here, but we're running long on time here. Any other tidbits I missed, guys? Anything I need to bring up that I missed from Comic-Con or anything else that's worthy of conversation?
No.
Man of the High Castle is finally coming back after a two-year hiatus, dropping, September, October. The footage looked great. What they showed, they didn't even show the trailer. They just showed footage from episodes, and it's already been picked up for season 4. So they're already in production for season 4. So we'll get season 3 this year, season 4 next year, and we'll see what happens.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah,
it's a great show.
I was wondering what happened to that show, and it's finally coming back.
And actually, they dropped that, like, some of the multiverse stuff is actually from Philip K. Dick material that was never published. So they're not just pulling this out of their ass. This is stuff that he wrote, put together, was supposed to be for another book or a follow-up book, but never got published. Because his daughter is actually the executive producer of the show.
Did not know that. Okay.
Nice.
It's a good show, too. It's a good show. That's one people should watch.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's very intriguing. It's one you guys should definitely watch. Mike, anything you want to add here?
No, I'm good. I just want to, give my shout-outs to Barbara Floyd with our outro and
sir,
just happy. Basketball season's over, so now that Kawhi is officially a Toronto Raptor, and DeMar DeRozan is a Spur, pretty much that we're in the cold.
We can move forward again. We can NBA move forward, season. And
now all the cheesy players will sign their 1-year contracts.
Let's get to the pigskin. That's
right.
About.
That's right. That's right, dude.
2 months away. A month away. Whatever.
2 weeks till. Till pads start hitting.
Oh, by the way, if anyone's listening, we are the Eliminator, ESPN Eliminator Challenge is open, hosted by Mr. Ralph Delgado. Hope he's a fan, listens. $25 entry. And we have a couple spots open on the Fantasy Money League. A little bit higher stakes, but we're trying to get to 10 teams. We got 7, possibly 8. And if you're interested, message us on the Facebook page or drop us an email, whatever. We'll get you in.
Yeah, football.
You can stack up against the real mentors.
Mentors, because I hate fantasy football.
And the real mentor is actually defending champion. So
I am the defending champion. I am the Golden State Warriors of fantasy football lore, if you will.
I'm the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cross sports. Okay.
Chewie is
the LeBron. Yeah.
Yes, Mike is Kawhi. He didn't play. Mike had a thigh bruise.
Yeah, a thigh. Did you hear about all that crap? Holy crap! Anyway, we gotta end this thing. But
either way, though. But yeah, again, thanks, guys. I hope that was a good show for everybody. We'll be back next week, of course. But I think we're gonna have the Spaniard back on. We're trying to arrange that again.
That would be awesome.
So looking forward to that, and we're trying to get Fabian as well, Mr. Michael Bay himself.
He's gonna bemoan the loss of Once Upon a Time.
Oh God. Jeez, he's probably recuperating from the cancellation or the season ending or whatever stupid show. But anyway, guys, so that's all the time we got. Appreciate it again. Check us out on the Facebook page. We're still dropping all the news, all the trailers, et cetera, keeping you guys up to date. You guys have a good one. We'll see you guys next week.